And welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast, episode number 106. I'm your host this week, Will Wilson, and with me is John Jordan.
Trusty sidekick, John Jordan, that should be sure.
Trusty sidekick, John Jordan.
No one else, and everyone else has got something else better to do.
Yep, everyone else couldn't be bothered. We phoned up Tracy, he was washing his hair, phoned up Ben. Apparently Ben was shooting pigeons in his back garden.
A lot of pigeons these days.
Yeah, I know, but he does that every weekend. It's kind of getting tiresome. And we even contacted Rob, but Rob's actually got flu, apparently. Mm. At least that's what he put the reason down to, his poor performance at Call of Duty. Actually, no, it wasn't too bad at Call of Duty last night. We had our first ever gamers night for 2010 yesterday. Listeners, that's there's a games website. It's our first ever time we've actually managed to get everyone together to play on one of the home consoles. Yeah, it was good fun. Anyway, I don't normally introduce things very well, so on that bombshell, I'm going to go straight to the news.
News!
First up on the news this week is Infinity Blade. It's out.
It's out? Really? I didn't notice. I didn't. I've been at the office.
Yeah, well, it is out. I've actually played it. I downloaded it. It was out from when we were recording. It was out at midnight. So I've put in an hour or two into it so far.
And your thoughts?
It's an interesting game. I like it. I think I don't think it's quite as good as Tracy Port. Mm-hmm. I know it's controversial. We have different opinions on games. It's terrible. That's to the listeners more than you, John. It's not bad. I think it's a little bit shallow. I like the RPG elements, but I don't think the RPG elements are the issue. I think it's repetitive enough to make me actually a little bit bored. I don't know if I'm going to play it for very much longer.
You mean repetitive in terms of the gestures?
It's the gestures and the gameplay, yeah. There's not really that much. I mean, it's maybe I haven't played it enough, but the battle system isn't quite as deep as a lot of people are making it out. It's just like you press dodge in either direction. And if you've... Occasionally a monster will do a low sweep, in which case you dodge to the opposite direction, but you can always dodge an attack. That's what I've got so far. So it's just basically pressing left or right and then going swish, 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 yep, every time. And it's worrying when you start to try and fast forward past the animations. Because there's a lot of animations. Because it's a very nice looking game.
Well, yeah, I think it's probably fair to say the top of the bullet point list of when we're making this game, it probably said, looks really nice in big letters, like
70
point.
Yeah,
and it said,
pretty.
Interesting story and gesture control. I think it is what it is. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's a surprise.
It's an interesting way of getting around certain limitations, though. Sorry, hang on.
Oh no, completely. Yeah.
The repeating nature of the game is quite interesting, and the way it actually handles as well. I haven't seen that done for quite some time, where you're meant to lose and repeat the game again, but as the offspring of your former character. In fact, a game did that recently this year, which I can't say because it would completely spoil the plot. But it's not very often done, that plot device, and it's quite interesting that they used it.
Yeah. And it is. It's the other nice thing about that plot device is, of course, it means that you don't spend so much time making locations that people only use once.
Yeah.
So I mean, it kind of works. I think it's quite interesting. You know, whatever kind of, whether it's called a plot device, you know, that's kind of interesting in and of itself. But it's also one of the things that works well in terms of, if you're making a game, instead of making 10 levels, you can spend five times as much as you time as you would have if you're just making on that one level. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
so you still save time, and you know.
There needs to be a little bit more. I mean, like it literally doesn't change. The only things that change are the sort of look, general look of the monsters, not necessarily the monsters themselves, but the general look. And the level of them. So you'll get the big ogre-like person, but he'll be wearing red striped armor on the second time round, and you think, wow, no. He's got red armor. That's red armor's like twice as red as the grey armor. So, yeah. So, I mean, if there was a little bit more difference between them, just a few little bits pieces, like a collapsed arch or something on the second time through to show age or something, you know. True RPG style, and that would be very good.
Well, I guess they would argue this is the kind of their first, this is their kind of experiment, isn't it, to kind of see how it sells, what the reaction is.
Bet you it's number one. I haven't actually checked.
Yeah, no. It's top grossing.
It's got to be. It's got to be on both charts, I'd imagine, with the amount of hype. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad game. For the money, I don't think it's bad at all. And, I mean, I've been playing on the iPad. It's a universal as well. I like that. Any developer that releases universal apps automatically goes up by one point in my liking scale.
Why is that? Because you can play
an iPad and an iPod Touch.
It was not exactly the same, and I would always prefer to play it on an iPad. But of course, for the developer, it's a kind of a bit of a kind of a dilemma, because if they just did a separate iPad thing, they would charge more for that.
Yeah, so, which is why so I like it when they do universal.
Yes.
Yeah. Weird. Okay. Yeah. No. It's number one. It's number one on the sales. Can I be bothered to wait for this to load up? Well, I've started.
Started
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Top grossing. It's also there. Sorry, it was taking ages to load the top grossing for some reason. Anyway. Yeah. Infinity Blade. We give it a 9. I think it's pretty good. I'll give it an 8. Myself, but yeah, it's all right. Well, maybe, yeah, 8, 7. I don't know. I'll see how far it goes. In other news, we have got 2 big titles from the PC coming out soon, and 1 title from the PC that's not coming out soon, but probably will at some point in the future. First one is, of course, World of Goo, top indie puzzler from 2D Boy, which was released last year. Is it a year old or 2 years old now? It might be 2, actually. Yeah. It's been out on quite a few systems, actually, like the Wii as well. But it's coming to the iPad, not the iPhone, on December the 16th. I played it recently, actually. I hadn't played it before. I'm the sort of person that looks at the indie games getting hyped and thinks to myself, well, bloody hell. No, I can't be bothered with that. Because it's normally got so many sort of terribly over-the-top hyperbole surrounding them, as if like to say, oh, it's the legendary game, anyone who plays this is sophisticated, and I get very tired of that, and it kind of actually puts me off, which is a shame, because World of Goo is good.
You're not very sophisticated, is that kind of what you're saying?
No, I just find that any game that causes someone to do that in such an excited way, I don't know, I never think, oh. I don't know, it's just something that some of the alarm bells go off in my brain. I think it's training from like stuff like Limbo and various other indie titles, darlings over the decades, which have been bigged up in or by all quarters, and I played them and I thought, well, it is nice. But World of Goo actually is very good. So there you go. And it is sophisticated and cultured.
There we go.
And any player who plays it is sophisticated. What do you think of it, John?
I have almost no opinion at all.
The other thing, sorry.
Because I'm not sophisticated, obviously, but it's almost like, I don't know, it's one of these games that by the time it's got over a lot, it seems like quite a lot of it. The impact of a game is when you do something a little bit different or present something in a new way. You know, the first time it comes out, that's the impact. And then I always kind of think it's more of a, it's just more of a commercial thing for it to come out on other platforms, you know. You know, it's kind of Angry Birds on Android. It was a port. You know, it wasn't. Do we get really excited by that? Well, not necessarily if we played it on iPhone.
A lot of Android owners did.
Oh yeah, of course, Android owners did. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of iPad owners would be very pleased to see World of Goo come along. I don't think I'll buy it twice though.
No, I mean that's a. I kind of wonder with the indie game thing is most of their audience is, is gonna. Because it is kind of a fairly PC-based thing, isn't it? So, unless they have a big marketing... if EA were putting it out and putting some marketing money behind it, then I can kind of see, it has an impact. Otherwise, I just kind of potentially...
Well, Osmos did manage to pierce both the grossing and top-selling chart.
Really?
When it was released, yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
I reckon we'll see World of Good quite near the top.
Yeah, the other thing is there is about 1 billion games coming out next week.
Yeah, that is true, actually, and... there's bound to be a few big ones. from the likes of EA and Game Off. Broken Sword 2, though, is also coming to the iPad later this month, I think.
It is coming out. It is in submission at the moment.
Broken Sword 2 is not as good as the first game. Sorry. But it is good. It's better than the third game. The third game is rubbish. I expect it's going to be another good conversion.
Yep. I was talking to Charles Cecil yesterday. So
name dropping.
I was talking to him yesterday. It's not only name dropping, is it? It's his game.
Why? I was talking to the lead developer on this game just the other day.
But the more exciting news is he is working on 3 new projects. So this is kind of like, I think the term we decided on, he has mined his back catalogue now, and now it's time to focus on new stuff.
Is this new stuff going to be new adventures, do you know, on the iPad?
Say again?
New adventures on the iPad?
Yes. Well, I think they're going to be more broadly than just iPhone. I think they'll probably come to XBLA and that kind of stuff. The first one to come out will be another Broken Sword game, and then there's other stuff as well. So
I think Broken Sword 2 is actually coming out with a comic by Gibbons.
Yep,
that's indeed. Good.
Yes, well, I kind of think there is because the Broken Sword fans are fairly. I mean, there's not loads of them. I mean, there's quite a lot of them, but not there's not millions of them. There's hundreds of thousands of them more. I think the last one sold about 200,000-ish. A lot of them will probably buy it anyway.
Yeah.
On iPad because they just have pleasant memories about it. But I kind of think there's... Because, Revolution has... Broken Sword is its kind of like main thing. It always tries to do something a little bit additional, even if it's not new gameplay. Because the last one kind of had new gameplay built into it, didn't it? Had a kind of new early chapter, but I think they try and do what they can within the kind of like the limits of budget and time to bring something that the fans will enjoy, which is a very honourable thing to do, of course.
Yeah. Rather than put a virtual D-pad or something on top, which would be odd anyway. Talking of old, actually, I didn't mention the third game. There's a Minecraft imitator has appeared. There's already been one before that. There must be a point in the future where some sort of Minecraft game will appear on the iPhone, probably. But
well, I thought you just said one ad.
Probably an official one at some point. But unofficial ones are starting to pop up. So,
but he's only like a one-man team, isn't he? The Minecraft.
Yeah, guy. Yeah. Well, no, he's not anymore. He's employed. He's set up his own company with all the millions of.
Yeah, but he's still
his baby.
No, I'm just saying all their focus is going to be, he's just hired some guys in the last month or so.
Yeah.
And his whole focus is going to be the PC thing. He's not, if he's not done any iPhone development, he's not suddenly going to dive in. It would take him, probably like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I know, but it's, I was thinking though, because the license for it, it's a pretty free-ish license, put it that way. But they need permission from him to do the thing. I can see someone actually trying to get official permission to put an official Minecraft game up there.
That would take even longer, wouldn't it? Because that'd be like a publisher would have to go to him and say, "Can I license it?" And he'd have to get lawyers to look at it and go, "I'm an R," and then they'd have to, would he give them the code from the PC version to port, or would they have to start from scratch? And then he'd have to like approve it all, and they go, "This bit, I don't like this bit very much." And I mean, it'd be a nightmare. It'd be a nightmare. I will. That's my view on it.
Don't spoil my dream. And finally, up this week, we had more details on the Amiga emulator that has been worked on by the guys behind the C64 one. If I remember rightly, let me just bring up that. Yes, Manimoyo. How do you actually pronounce their name?
Don't ask me.
All right, Manimoyo. Moyo. Yeah. iAmiga, which would be interesting. Doesn't someone still own the rights to Amiga, as in the name?
Did it get bought by?
It got bought by a few companies.
I'm trying to think most recently. I think it bought by someone odd, like I'm thinking of like a Gateway or someone. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they've got license to do CinemaWare games though, so some classics.
That'll be off the company who. That'll be off CinemaWare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The classics like It Came from the Desert and Wings will be available on the emulator from the get-go. There's going to be a virtual keyboard, mouse, joystick on the fly, apparently. Also, they've got Bitmap Brothers and Factor 5 and a couple of others. Arch McLean are on board as well for this. So that's a good roll call of initial support. Hopefully that will mean that there's going to be Chaos Engine from the Bitmap Brothers.
Who owns all the Bitmap Brothers anymore? Because they went bust years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if it... presumably someone bought it back from the receiver.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
It's quite quiet in the room of mine today.
Isn't it?
Last week, of course, we never got to say hello to the room miner because of a tragic accident, possibly. I can't remember what our excuse was last week, but it was probably a tragic accident. Anyway, we've got a note here attached to a dead sparrow. That looks like the rumour miner's handwriting. There's going to be some new iPad models on sale in early March, he's written down in blood. Early March, eh? That's not pretty...
You're ventilating.
I'm reading the note at the same time as... Okay. As I'm trying to stall. Essentially, he's saying that a March release is on the cards for the iPad 2, which is slightly earlier than other rumours have suggested, but fairly believable.
I mean, the thing is, Apple do quite like sticking to dates, don't they? They kind of more...
Yeah.
I think they're. I think I get the impression that they are fairly. I mean, they're kind of fairly rigid company, aren't they? I think Apple. I think they, you know, they do a lot behind the scenes, and when they present it, it is just so. And I think they. I don't know. Is it a Zen thing to have?
I saw. Did you see the? Did you see the patent rumors that came out? I think today of today's recording.
I was talking about
radial menus.
What does that mean?
You hold down your finger on the icons. They've patented a new design for the iOS interface. You hold down your finger on the icon and then they split up into little circles around the edge of you. And they're highlighted as to what's already selected. It looks quite odd. I don't know if that's a move forward or move backwards. We'll see. See if it actually is real next year sometime.
Well, the other thing, patents, you know, people have loads of patents. People have patents for not necessarily because they want to do something, but... normally because they want to stop someone else doing something. So.
Yeah. It's kind of it's the most counterproductive thing, other than lawyers. Anyway, don't sue. yeah. So, but next up on the Room Minds list, written this time in saliva, is the fact that Bejeweled 3 will be coming to the iPhone and iPad. It's not actually been confirmed yet. I know there's a stunned silence there and the sort of... hasn't that been confirmed already?
No. Well, there was... they had a bit of a PR boo-boo when they announced Bejeweled 3, whenever it was, a couple of months ago. For some reason, the UK PR, so it wasn't PopCap, it was the UK agency, put out a press release saying it was coming to iPhone, not an iPad. And so I emailed them back saying, oh, you haven't said what date is coming to iPhone, and the proper PopCap people were just like, we've not announced it. And I said, well, your PR have just put out a press release saying it has, and they went, ah! So I think I caused a bit of a ruckus between them. And then the agency had to put out a press release saying, no, it's not being announced for any platforms other than whatever, PC and Mac. So, of course, it will come to mobile.
Yeah.
Yes, there's nothing. Oh, actually, I think PopCat said back in whenever it was October that there was they had nothing in development at the moment. So while the assumption was, you know, it would come, I guess they're working on other things.
It would be, from a Java perspective, at least, it would be mental for them not to get something.
Well, they kind of, I mean, they have a deal with EA, don't they, for
yeah.
Java stuff, so... I think with those kind of things, it's just like I was saying before, we're kind of world of goo. I mean, you know, PopCap now gets 25% of its revenue off mobile. There's no way it's going to bring, it's going to not bring those really big franchises that roll out every, where, you know, 5 years. Yeah, there's no way it's not going to bring them to mobile. You know, the more interesting thing is it's still got loads of kind of, you know, games it could bring to mobile for the first time. Yeah, I mean, they're very careful about what they bring, aren't they?
That's a scary point, though, actually, because it's, what is it, 10 years? Is it, it was the 10th birthday, wasn't it, for Bejeweled recently? Or was it 15?
No, I don't think it was that long.
I think it was 10 then. It was at least a decade. I better move on to the next rumour.
Let's move on.
Geodefense 2 is going to... hang on, sorry. I haven't said what this is written in. Actually, I don't think I'm going to say what this one's written because it's kind of disgusting. Anyway, Geodefense 2 is to miss 2010. It's been delayed indefinitely, which is just a shame. Yeah, it was slated for release in the autumn, and now it's just disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yeah, it's disappeared. The developers don't know when they will be finished with the game. I'm reading that directly from the Rumour Miners post on the site.
I just don't know.
Which
he's
is
asked,
he's
asked for an estimate. The guy sucked his teeth. Said,
yeah. Oh, I don't know, mate. Geodefense 2, you say? No, I can't do that. Hang on. Did you play Geodefense 1? It sounds like a tower defense game, which is automatically making my head sort of hurt.
Didn't play it, no.
Oh.
But it was...
It's highly regarded, I think, wasn't it? It was highly regarded.
Well, it was kind of, yeah, it was, but it was kind of... It was one of these games that came out... Let's have a think. When did it first come out? Yeah, so it came out kind of spring 2009. So I think it was one of these kind of games that... Because I was going to think, like, the App Store was kind of waves, and you had the first wave where everyone was just massively surprised that any game, you know, got sold, and then, like, billions of rubbish got sold. And then you had, like, a wave of kind of games that people kind of knew what they were doing and knew that this was, like, a good platform. And kind of Geodefense, you know, it wasn't particularly original in terms of gameplay, but it was a little bit different kind of art style-wise, and because it's basically kind of one guy doing it. And so it's kind of one of these ones that... was kind of, Lucky's was kind of wrong, but it's like right place, right time to do really well, even though it wasn't particularly, you know, groundbreaking. I don't think it was taking gameplay that'd been on other platforms and bringing it over to iPhone for the first time. And then they did a kind of, I don't know if it counts as a sequel or not, they did one called Geodefense Swarm, which was, I guess, kind of like a 1.5, and that came out in September 2009. So I just kind of think that I just think these very small teams find it hard. They either have to put something out really fast, or if they start getting into like over 6 months, they've got to put that feature in feature creep, and then they go, oh, the graphics are really rubbish. I have to read all the graphics. And actually, the guy, I mean, I vaguely know the developer, and he's got like a proper job in, not that this isn't making iPhone games isn't a proper job, but his proper job is he runs a
say full time job.
It's full time job. Yeah, it's full time job. He runs a online middleware company, which is a fairly substantial. Last time I looked, it was like, you know, kind of 100 people large kind of company. So he kind of, I think, you know, this was iPhone stuff as his hobby. So I think, you know, obviously if he's busy with his full time job, then iPhone games take a back seat. I'll have to drop him a line and ask him.
Well,
he may be very offended that I've suggested this.
It's disappointing news, but yeah, if you're running a middleware company as your proper job, sorry. anyway, enough about that. Let's put that. Let's put this piece of paper down on the ground where it belongs and head out of the rumor mine and into the what we've been playing fields.
What we've been playing!
John.
I'm checking because I've got a terrible memory. I'm still. Not still. Am I still? Was I doing it last week? I don't think I was. I've been playing Backbreaker 2. Did I mention this last week?
You mentioned it was out. I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Yeah. It came out on early this week. Was it ages ago?
Last Thursday, I think.
Yeah, it came out a while ago. Yeah, so it's it adds the defensive thing to it. I'm not enjoying it as much as the first one. I think the first one had an elegant simplicity in what you did, and when it got more complex, it didn't get over complicated. And I kind of think, obviously, adding having to you're not sacking the quarterback because he's not a quarterback, but whatever, tackling the chap running towards the rugby line. No, but I mean, they've kind of handled that quite well. So you don't, I mean, obviously you can miss him, you can tackle the wrong direction and miss him, but generally you kind of get him. But they've kind of added lots of kind of like obstacles. So you have like things you have to jump over, and you have kind of these. He has his kind of protectors, so he has kind of like guys trying to protect him, and some of them you have to jump over. If they're red, you can jump over them, and if they're yellow, you can press another button, and you kind of go into a protective kind of mode with your hands, and he bounces off you, and it just gets really complicated. And there's not really a jump button, but there's quite a lot of buttons, because you were saying with Infinity Blade, there's like dodges and stuff. So there's dodge right, dodge left, and kind of like do 180 degree turns left and right. And then you have like a sprint button, and then you have a tackle button. So there's all those buttons, and then there's a gap in the middle, and that gap is the jump button. But because it's not a button, you end up pressing one of the other ones by mistake. And maybe I'm just not very good at them, but I kind of thought they've taken it a step too far. They're trying to add too much. So, but I've not reviewed that one yet, so I'll have to play a bit more. What else have I been playing? I've been playing Wii Bowl, Wii Bowl, which, as it suggests, is a bowling game, which is, I guess, vaguely supposed to be part of NG Moco's Wii Rule, Wii City, Wii whatever kind of brand. And it's from Freeverse, which is the company they bought about a year ago. Who were known for their bowling games, so, and their fishing games as well. But so that's kind of, I mean, it's very, as you'd expect, a very kind of a arcadey bowling game, and you can play head to head against people. So that's kind of nice. And
how does that work in the sense of sort of freemium thing, though?
You basically get.
So a number of Skittles.
No. Silly. You start off with 20 balls, and every time, while you're playing, you get another ball every 30 seconds. When you're basically logged in the game, kind of thing, playing. And then when you're not playing, you get another ball every 3 minutes. Up to a maximum of 20. So effectively, it limits your play time to, I guess you can bowl 20 balls in about 5 minutes. So you can only play for 5 minutes at a time, and then it doesn't recharge fast enough. So you buy balls.
How do you get into matches with people then? Because I mean, I guess you'd be running out.
That was the kind of complicated thing. So it uses the Plus network. So you have to be on Plus, and then I couldn't work out how to do it. So I just emailed the developer, and then of course, like, I was playing loads of the development team who were really good and beat me. But it also meant I never worked out how you did that. So I assume you have to go to Plus and search for people within that. I didn't. Yeah. This is the disadvantage of knowing developers, that they just do it all for you. And there's another game called Survivium, which I was really looking forward to when I saw it ages ago, E3. And it's like a game where you build like a virus. So you have, I think there's up to, I think it's 12 so far that I've got, kind of actions. So like an action could be move forward, or an action could be clone yourself, and drop your clone on the square ahead of you. Or I think could be eat whatever's ahead of you and turn it into one of your
viruses. So is this a biological virus?
Yes. I mean, it's not a very serious game. So you select some of these. You can select as many of these, well, not as many as you want, but you kind of create a kind of sequence of these moves, and then you drop your virus in a battle with another virus, and then they kind of, you know, try and eat each other, and then you see who wins. And it's a really nice idea. I'm not sure about how they've presented it. How much variation you can kind of get into it. It kind of seems that you end up kind of doing a lot of the same things. But you can, the kind of the point is you can go online and attack other people's kind of viruses. So
it's a good concept.
It's a really nice concept, but
sounds a bit like Robot Wars, but with biological viruses.
Yeah, I kind of think you probably need to have more variation in what you can, in the actions you can put together.
Mm.
I think having, I don't know if there's a way you could have not preset actions, but kind of, I don't know. As I generally say these things, I'm going to have to play it some more. That's why I never get anything reviewed. I'm like, oh, I've got to play it some more, of course. Not quite sure yet. But, what have you been playing, Will? Enough of me.
What? No, I've been playing quite a lot, actually. Thank you very much.
I said enough of me. What are you going on about?
I thought you said nothing. And as in a sort of flippant way, as if to say he's not been playing anything. Don't listen to him, listeners. He's going to make it all up. Well, in fact, John, I've been playing Jordan Is Wrong, the game.
That's
HD.
Very popular, I've heard. Yeah.
No, I have been playing. Let me drag up the iPad. Because I've been swapping systems all over the place today. I've been playing... Still playing Spirits. I think the review's about to come out now. But yeah, I finally reviewed that. That was good. Buccaneer Blitz was my game this week on the iPad. My review should be forthcoming in the next few days.
It's Namco one, is it?
Yes. Hmm. It is Namco. I can't remember what game started this system off first. It's kind of like that, you know, it's sort of an action real-time strategy. So, to describe it, you get like different numbers in circles, you know, that sort of game. And you press your number and say, take over that number. And then half of that number goes out and takes over.
Okay, yep.
It's one of those games. I don't know which game.
All played those. They're kind of fun.
I don't know which game started that off, though. So I want to really say a bloody blah clone or inspired
I think the first,
by.
The first one I played was Modern... Oh, it wasn't Modern Combat, was it? Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, but there was many games before that one.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there were. I mean,
it's the same system. I don't know who started it. Anyway, I like to call them action RTSs. So if everyone wants to take that as the official term for it, then please do.
You have to put a TM behind it every time you say it.
Don't worry, I'll make one myself. I'll be like Michael Nyman of action RTSs. I'll coin the phrase and then I'll make it. Make it my own later down the line. it's an action RTS, but it's really nothing to do with pirates. It says Buccaneer Blitz, but really you play Viking looking ships around. So I don't know. I don't think Vikings count as pirates. I know they did some pillaging and raping.
Yeah, I mean,
traditionally
behavior,
considered,
but they were pirates.
If I said pirates, you wouldn't think Vikings. No. But anyway, yeah. So it's a familiar game. I need to test the multiplayer because the single player campaign is actually quite good. It's got some good, well designed levels. It's got some extra bits. You can use spells. You can expand the capacity of the islands. Use spells by sacrificing people or using a catapult, which is like an action part of the game, where you go down to ground level and you start flinging catapults. But the catapults rocks are really powerful. They can take out sort of like 5 ships at once, which is quite a lot, especially as your like biggest islands are going to be 50 population. So even if you have like the biggest island possible in the game, you can take it down. You could take down their ships in like 3-4 shots. I need to check this out in multiplayer because I think it's going to be really overpowered. There's also a few really overpowered feeling spells, which are great in one player because they set up the level so that you're against it, like backs to the wall, and you only just scrape through, and then you get tsunami and you go, yes, as all of the enemy ships are completely wiped from the screen, because that's what it does. as they're in en route. Yeah. So
that's not going to be fun to play.
That's not going to be fun in multiplayer, I'm thinking. So I need to, because I've only been playing the one player so far. So I'm going to have a sit down with that while I'm mixing this podcast and see how that works out. Yeah, but I mean, the presentation's very nice. It works well on the iPad. That's what I'm primarily playing it on. It's a universal app, which I incorrectly assumed was two separate apps when I posted the original news story. And Namco made sure I got that mistake corrected.
Oh, they're on the ball over at Namco, aren't they?
Yeah, they were on it in a flash, which is nice. It means they're reading it. But yeah, so I need to test that on the iPhone as well. But on the iPad, it works fine, and I don't think there's going to be many problems in the iPhone either. Yeah, balance. Yeah, Infinity Blade I've been playing as well, but obviously I've already spoken about that. Still playing Smurfs Village. Yeah. Well, I'm writing a guide. Although, you know, I didn't have my Apple Touch on me. Well, I didn't have connection to a Wi-Fi for 3 days this week because we were at our special Christmas dinner do, listeners, which you'll hear a recording of after Christmas because it'll be a extra special podcast then. I did say last week that this one was going to be the special one. Then I realized, actually, you know what? We're all on holiday 1 week in about 2 weeks' time, so I better put that one there. So if you're wondering why this one isn't quite as special as you thought it would be, that's the reason. Anyway, we were at the Christmas dinner, so I didn't get a chance of even harvesting my watermelons. So it's a bit of a shame.
They've all gone, haven't they?
Yeah, they're all spoiled.
All gone.
I got to poison Gargamel, or whatever his name is. I want to call him Gilgamesh. I know that's wrong.
Doesn't sound like a very nice Smurf thing to do.
That's what the Smurfs do, John. They poison their enemies.
That's as much I know. Hey. Why do we allow our kids to play this sick filth? I don't know.
They poisoned him with strawberries because he's allergic to them, apparently. Basically, it's teaching our children to find out what your friend's allergies are.
And peanut deaths around the world.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm still not enjoying it. I think it's a run. Sorry. I'm going to write a guide and I'm going to try and make it so you can get through it quicker because it really, I don't like it. I want to get through it as quickly as possible. Yeah. I think that's all I've been playing on the iOS device. So I played a couple of old iOS games on other platforms this week. Yeah, they weren't. We didn't get any questions last week, so that means we can't answer any. But if you do have a pressing question, a pressing need to have a question answered, then do write in to the comment section of this article. That's on the website. And we will answer it next week. Yeah. Other than that, I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast.
Oh, I have. I definitely have enjoyed
it. It's been a great day. We've had a lot of fun.
Have we? Oh, I know what I'm saying.
Anyway. Thank you very much for joining us. We will be back, hopefully with a few more people as well, next week. I've been watching.
Next week. See you next week, Will.
See you next week, John.
Have a good
Goodbye.
Week. Goodbye.